Hello, I'd like to let you know that I thank Zonovan Publications for explaining to me the rules and regulations of their publications and permission, the rights to use their materials. And I want to thank them for allowing me to use points that you will hear. He is a powerful God. He is a protective God. He is a personal God. He is a presenting God. He is a praiseworthy God. And I want to thank them for allowing me to use their materials and explaining all of the rules. I feel good about that. And I hope that you will enjoy the sermon, for the sermon is for you to enjoy, to witness to others, and to let others know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if anyone who does not know that Jesus Christ is Lord and you hear this sermon, I pray that you will get a new view of who God is. May God bless you, and please enjoy.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we approach your throne and we thank you, Lord, for your truth, your inability to keep us, your presence to move your people in the direction that you want your people to go in. We thank you, Lord, for your word to guide us. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless us to see and to hear and to follow thee. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Amen. In this last verse of Jude, we find these words: to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and ever. Amen. This subject, do you desire a blessing from God? Part 5 is the final part in this series. And Jude writes to these believers: now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior. He makes it known that there's only one wise God. This benediction, this prayer, this good news, this blessing that Jude writes to address and encourage these Christian believers is so important and powerful that one cannot help but to see that with God there is always hope. Our Lord always provides hope. If he did not, then the Christian faith would be no more. This short letter includes one of the greatest benedictions of all time. It comes at a time when Christians were faced with theological crisis due to the fact that some of his teachers were teaching false doctrines, which included including denying the deity of Christ. The Christian community was divided and was not sure what to believe and how to behave. And you'll find that in verses 18 and 19 of this letter. Jude urged them to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, so they would know to practice holy righteousness, which is standing, instead of practicing sinful living, which is falling. He is able to keep us from falling. Authentic faith always produces godly behavior. We are called to contend for the faith. Looking back over last week, where the Lord will bless us to stand before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, we will be joyful because we will be blessed when we are presented before God's glory by God Himself. We will not only be joyful, but we will be exceedingly joyful because we will be present and presented before His presence of His glory, spotless, without spot or blemish, faultless, which means we will be fully redeemed, not knowing any sin. What a day. Being freed from the presence of sin. What an eternal day that will be. A day that will never end. A day of everlasting. We will also be joyful because we please God by doing what was humanly possible, in which God expected of us through covenant according to Jude. Yes. The covenant includes four aspects. Build up yourselves on your most holy faith, which means being rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. Bow down and pray in the Holy Spirit, which means that we always need to be empowered. Stay in the effective circle of God's love, which means our spirit needs to be nourished. And reach out to others in glad evangelism, which means that God is personal, but God is not private. Our witness and our relationship with God should coincide. Our relationship should be personal, but it should not be private. We should share our personal relationship with others. Reach out to others in glad evangelism. So it should not be private. It should be public. We should tell others that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we should tell others what God has done for us. Following these four aspects, we bring to light how important and urgent this benediction was for them then, as it is for us now. Still the question, do you desire a blessing from God? The blessing that every Christian should desire from God is the blessing that comes from God to please God. The only blessing that can truly please God is a divine faith that comes from God. Without this faith, it is impossible to please Him. Yet with this faith, God will grant us blessings upon blessings. I desire the blessing that comes from God, and I know you do also, which pleases God through faith in Jesus' name. Oh, that is the kind of faith that will empower us to trust God in every situation, in everything. That's the kind of faith that will empower us to trust God and to believe God in all things. As we have already noted, Jude is writing to these Christian believers who needed encouragement to hold on to the faith that makes the difference. The only faith that should be sought after is a divine faith that empowers us and pleases God, which stands and acts upon the belief that God is, and that faith is the faith, that this faith is the faith that moves God to reward those who diligently seek Him. This faith not only holds out against false teachers and false doctrines, but this faith is the faith that overcomes the world. Remember, this faith is the only faith that can truly please God. This benediction is a benediction of faith because one must believe that God is. Oh, not to believe that God is following along the road of false teachers. But if you believe that God is, you ought to continue to travel that road and see what the end will be. You ought to travel that road and proclaim that God is our victory in every situation. God is, and that He's able to do everything that Jude says our God can do. This faith that I'm talking about pleases God so much that it causes God to move mountains and fill valleys. This faith that I'm talking about pleases God so much that it causes God to make your valleys come up high and your mountains to be brought low. This faith that I'm talking about pleases God so much that it causes God to make your rough roads smooth and your crooked roads straight. This faith that I'm talking about causes God to look beyond your faults and see your needs. I'm a witness to this. Oh, this faith that I'm talking about causes God to bless us to remember that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. This faith that I'm talking about causes God to bless us to remember that our God is undefeated. Yeah. And our God is able to turn your situation around. That our God is able to make a way out of no way. That our God is still the wheel in the middle of the wheel. That our God is still a deliverer. That our God is still a healer. This faith that I'm talking about causes God to bless us to remember that God is an awesome God, and that God is an undefeated God, and that God is a God who is more than a conqueror and has made us more than conquerors. I'm talking about a God who never will lose a case, never has lost a case. I'm talking about a God that wakes you up in the morning, no matter whether the alarm clock goes off or whether the alarm clock doesn't go off. I'm talking about a God that's not dependent on this world, but a God who is independent. I'm talking about a God who has given us power and understanding. I'm talking about a God who was able to keep us when we couldn't keep ourselves in our right minds. We would never be able to keep ourselves in the right mind. I'm talking about a God who knows all about you and still gives us grace. I'm talking about a God who knows all about our faults and still has mercy upon us. I'm talking about a God who causes us to believe even when all the odds are against us. I'm talking about a God who, when your house is not in order, He can get your house in order. I'm talking about a God who can save from the utmost. I'm talking about a God who's able to do all things but fail. I'm talking about a God that even when somebody backslides, if you just call on the name of Jesus, they're able to come back. I'm talking about a God that when you put God off the back burner and put Him on the front line, He's able to guide you. He's able to do all things, for you will start saying, "The Lord is my shepherd," because He is. I'm talking about a God who's able to overcome because He's the overcomer of the overcomers. He's the head of the heroes. He's the highway to holiness. He's the day star. I'm talking about a God who is able to get you out of the hole and the mess that you're in and bring you and make you free. I'm talking about a God that will make you testify that He is Lord. Let me remind you of the previous points. Our God is a powerful God. Now unto Him that is able to perform. Our God is a protective God. He is able to keep you from. Our God is a personal God. He is able to keep us from falling, able to keep you from falling. Our God is a presenting God, because he represents us faultless before the presence of his glory. Jude speaks of God in this benediction in a special way. Therefore, I say to you that our God is not only a powerful God, he's not only a protective God, he's not only a personal God, he's not only a presenting God, but our God in this fifth point, our God is a praiseworthy God. Someone said that God inhabits the praises of his people. God dwells where he is praised. If you praise him, he'll dwell there. If you praise him in your home, he'll dwell there. If you praise him on your job, he'll dwell there. If you praise him in your church, he'll dwell there. If you praise him on a bus, he'll dwell there. If you praise him on a train, he'll dwell there. If you praise him in your car, he'll dwell there. If you praise him anywhere you are, he is able to dwell there. He inhabits the praises of his people. He'll dwell there. He's a praiseworthy God. This 25th verse says to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. In verse 24, Jude points out what God is able to do. But in verse 25, Jude directs our attention to who God is, from what he can do to who he is. Our biggest blessing in our Christian walk is knowing God for who he is, and then add to what he can do. Who he is will determine what he can do. Too many people are concerned with what he can do, especially for them, instead of getting to know who he is. If you get to know who he is, then you'll get to know what he can do. That's why a lot of people go to a whole lot of unnecessary things, because they don't know who he is. Therefore, they don't really know what he can do. But if you know who he is, then you know what he can do. When we truly get to know who God is, then we will be even more blessed to know that he is able to do. Love him for who he is first, then love him for what he can do. First, we love him for who he is. And as we get to know who he is, we get to know him for what he can do. That means that if God wasn't doing anything for us today, you have to love him anyway because of who he is. If you love him because of who he is, he will not stand off forever. That's why he could not give up on Israel, because Israel knew who he was. When you know who God is, even though doors may be shut, you will find that he's able to do to the door that no one else could do. He's able to open up that shut door because you know who he is. Amen. And when you have people that are always looking at what God can do and don't know what he is, then they really don't know what he can do. Because the word of God tells us what he can do. That's why the relationship between God and his people is based upon the foundation of who he is. Because if you were the man on the cross, amen, the man on the cross didn't know what God could do, but he knew who he was. When you get to your kingdom, make room for me. He didn't didn't know him the way that some of the people who walked with him knew him. But he knew who he was, therefore he knew that he could do something. Let me leave that point. So that's why my fifth point is, our God is a praiseworthy God. He's a praiseworthy God because he's worthy of the praise. God is worthy of the praise. He's a praiseworthy God. So Jude points out in verse 25, he points this out when he ends verse 25, and he ends it with the word amen. What makes our God praiseworthy? He's praiseworthy because he's the amen. This name or title, amen, is perhaps the most important word in verse 25, for it is the final word in this verse, and it stands alone. Whatever the purpose may be, he ends it with amen. What does this word amen mean, you may ask? It means several things. It means let it be so, or this is the truth. Amen is often said after a prayer to show that people agree with what has been said and believe that it will happen, it will be done. The Hebrew word, or the Hebrew transliteration word for amen, is that is right. Amen means to be firm, steady, truth-worthy. Render also as truth. You find that in Isaiah 65 and 16. God of amen. In Jeremiah 11:5, so be it. The Greek word is a transliteration of the Hebrew and is rendered as verily. And in the entire New Testament, only Jesus uses amen at the beginning of a sentence as a word of affirmation that comes from God. Throughout the Gospel of John, the Lord uses the word amen. Double in John chapter 1 in verse 51. Amen, amen, I say unto you, or verily, verily, I say unto you. This also could be rendered as I am who I am the amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. So amen, amen, I say unto you. Amen. Revelation 3 and verse 14 says, and unto the angel of the church of, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Amen. So be it. He is recognized as the amen. Amen. This is true. It is, as some scholars would say, it is the seal of approval. Amen. In my studies, I have found it means it is the guarantee. It is the ultimate promise that comes from a righteous and holy God. Amen. Amen is the praiseworthy framework of an all-sufficient God, which is the absolute factor of why he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised because of who he is. This is why, in his wholeness, if you will, he is a powerful God. He is a protective God. He is a personal God. He is a presenting God. Because even from the beginning, our God was a praiseworthy God. That's why John starts his account with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, to signify the amen of God in Jesus. Jesus is our amen, which means Jesus Jesus is our manifested guarantee that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Jesus came in the flesh because he is the Amen of God. He is the icon of God, which means he is the image of God. We have a direct encounter with God through his Amen. Jude says to the only wise God, God is praiseworthy due to the fact that he is the only wise God. There is no other God like him. And there is no other God beside him. He is God all by himself. He alone is worthy. He is the only wise God. Only means remaining alone without others. When all other gods will fall apart, our God stands. Our God lives. Our God does all things but fail. When all other gods cannot answer, our God answers. We look back into the Old Testament when Elijah said to the people of Balaam, let your God answer. And their God couldn't answer. He said, is your God on a journey? Is your God someplace where he needs to be? Oh, but my God will answer. And he put not only the wood there, but he put water on the wood. And what he did was he called on God, and God answered by fire. Oh yeah, God is able to answer all other gods that you make or that others make as gods, that we have made as gods, will one day crumble and crush, rust and rot. But our God is the true and living God. Our God is the God who answers prayers. Our God is the God who lives when everything else is dead. Our God tells men to lay down and die, and then tell men and women to get up and live. Our God is the true and living God. Our God is a God who's able to do all things. Our God tells us that if we believe, he's able to do. Our God can go into lion dens and shut the lion's mouths. Our God could go into fiery furnaces and make the fire turn into an air conditioner. Our God can do all things but fail. Our God, our God, our God, oh, our God is able. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. He's able. Our God, he's not only able, but he's capable. Our God. He is second to none. Therefore, he alone is the only remaining wise God, the only creator. He alone is the Amen. He alone is the guarantee or the promised seal of approval. He alone is the final word. Amen. He is the only wise God who has all understanding, because he is truly the Amen. Therefore, Jude says to the only wise God, as the only wise God, he is the one true being. He is the only one eternal in his existence. One who has always been and one who will always be. He is self-existent. He is the one being. He is the one who was. He is the one who is. And he is the one to come. As God, he is the one who is spending time. Because he is God, he is the timeless one. He is the highest one. He is the supreme one. He is Lord. He's master. He is supreme in authority. He is the one above the sky. He is celestial. He is heavenly. He is the Father. He is the author of all things. He is the the creator of all things. He is the doer. He's omnipotent and he's almighty. Our God, our God, our God, our God is a God who will never leave you nor forsake you. Our God is a God who stands. Our God is the one who sits high and looks low. Our God is the one who draws near. Our God is the one who dwells within his people and the inhabitants, the praises of his people. Jude says to the only God, our Savior. Jude doesn't just say God alone, but he says God, our Savior, which means God, our eternal Savior, God, our omnipotent Savior, God, our one and only Savior. Oh, in the Hebrew language, he is known as Elohim, our all and sufficient God, the God who creates, the plural God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Our God is the owner of all glory and majesty, dominion, and power. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior of men who saves his people from the guilt and power of sin and from eternal death, from punishment, and from misery as the consequence of sin, and gives them eternal life and blessedness in his kingdom. You have the freedom to walk anywhere you want in his kingdom. He has given us the right to do that. Yes, not only God, but he is God our Savior, God our provider, God our redeemer, God our owner, God our prophet, God, God, God as our priest, God as our king, God as our judge, God as our righteousness, God as our creator of all things, God as our pastor, God as everlasting, God as the controller, God, 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 he is. Our God is a praiseworthy God. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? God is a praiseworthy God. The world may not praise him, but you who know him, we have an obligation to praise him. We have a privilege to praise him. We have a responsibility to praise him, because what he's done for us, no one else can do. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of the praise, I tell you. He's worthy. And the reason why he's worthy is because he's God. Jude wants these believers to know that these are not just words, but they are true words with true meaning. Verse 25 is a benediction that includes a doxology, which is a liturgical expression of praise to God, the Godhead. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him here below. Praise him, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise him because he's worthy of the praise. Why not? The cherubims are praising him. The seraphims are praising him. The 24 elders are praising him. The saints that have gone on before us are praising him. Why not we praise him? He's worthy of the praise. Jude wants these believers to know that this is the only true and wise God who has saved us from eternal separation of destruction and has redeemed us to worship him, who is alone glory and majesty, dominion and power. Jude says, and I'll be finished in a few minutes, Jude says to the only wise God, be glory. Yet not just glory, but amen glory. Amen glory means guaranteed glory. He is guaranteed of the glory. him, the rocks will cry out. If I don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. He is guaranteed of the glory. If we don't praise him on earth, they'll praise him on Mars. Wherever God has created life, they'll praise him. Life below, life above, life from the grave, life and raise it up. Wherever God has created life, the Bible says that he not only made the world, but he made the worlds. And God is a God of life. And whatever life is, whatever is praising him, whoever is praising him, God will receive the glory. I don't want the rocks to fall on me. I want to praise him because he is. He is guaranteed of dignity, of honor, of praise, and worship. Not only is he praiseworthy of glory, of the glory, because he is the Amen of glory, but he is the Amen of all majesty. He is guaranteed of all majesty. Not only is he guaranteed of all majesty, he is guaranteed to he is the guarantee of all majesty. The word majesty means the majesty of God, the divine nature of God. 2 Peter 1:16 says, we did not follow cleverly invented this story or these stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He is the Amen of majesty. He is the magnificence of majesty. He is the splendor of majesty. He is the greatness of majesty. And he is the brightness. He alone is majesty. The word majesty is usually referred to kings. Therefore, Jesus is a perfect fit because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He has preeminence and greatness. The government shall be upon his shoulder. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That's the second head of the Godhead. But when you praise God as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, oh, you will see such magnificent things. But not only is God praiseworthy of the majesty because he is the Amen of majesty, but he is the Amen of all dominion. Dominion of God in Christ. He is sovereign. Ownership. He calls all things into existence. Anything that is here, God is able to call into existence. John says, without Christ bringing in and calling anything into existence, isn't here. All things are called into existence by our Lord. In the creation. Not only is he praiseworthy of the dominion, but he is also the Amen of the dominion, and he is also the Amen to guarantee the seal of all power. The word for power is exousia. Exousia means privilege. This is not dunamis power. This is not dunamis power where it is like dynamite. It's not dunamis power where we get permission to do. Power comes upon us, as in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But this is exousia power. This is authority. This is the privilege. This is freedom. This is influence that God does what he wants to do, when he wants to do, how he wants to do. This is jurisdiction power. This is liberty power. This is the power to have the right to use power and the right to have the strength. This is power. This is exousia power. And the Amen of our God includes having the power of freedom, the power of righteousness, and the power of strength to do something. God is able to do something. We live, move, and have our being because God did something. He did something. And that's why we are able to live, move, and have our being. Well, in the beginning was God. And in the beginning, God was doing something. And he is still doing something, and he will be doing something forever and ever. God is doing something right now. He has the authority to do something because God is the Amen. He is the power and the glory, and he is able to do something about your situation. I'm so glad that God is able to do something, and I'm so glad that he's able to do something about me. I'm so glad that he has done something, but I'm glad that he is still doing, because God is not dead, but God is alive. If you truly desire a blessing from God, then God needs to be your amen. He needs to be the amen of your life. If you truly desire a blessing from God, then God needs to be the amen of your life. And if he's the amen of your life, then you know that he can do anything that he wants to do. I'm so glad that testimonies of God encourages one another. You see, when the doctors say no, God is able to say yes. When the odds are against you, if you truly desire a blessing from God, then God needs to be the amen of your life. And when he's the guarantee, when he's the seal of your life, you will praise him. You will give him the glory. You must trust him as the guarantee of your life. He was the amen in the beginning. He is the amen now. And he'll be the amen in the end. He has never and will never and shall never lose a case, because he is the amen. And as the amen, he is. What is he? He's the final word. And I'm so glad that he's the final word, because when you look at what he is, as you look at who he is, as you look and he reveals to us, you say, thank God that he is the final word. Because if the final word was left up to man, we will all be in trouble. How many times have people been threatened and people said, I'm going to get you for this, and never got to get them for it, because God had the final word. When people said, you're nothing but a failure, but you went to God in prayer, and if you didn't go, your parents went for you, somebody went for you in prayer, God became your final word. He's the amen. So I'm glad when people say with the other people, you won't be anything, or they say to me, you won't be anything, thanks be to God, I know that the devil's a liar, because God is the amen. Satan is not the amen. God is the amen. And because he's the amen, I'll stand for his glory. That's the reason why Jude in his letter says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It would be a joyful day just to know that the Amen has not only saved us, that the Amen has not only delivered us, but the Amen has done something beyond our imagination, and that is he has given us eternal life. He is my Amen. Is he your Amen? Your amen. Well, if he's your amen, you ought to stand to your feet, because presenting means standing. He will present us in that day faultless. He's my amen. I'm so glad that he's my amen. What about you? Is he your amen? When you get into a situation and you say, amen, God. God says, I know what you're talking about. Amen. That could be a prayer. Amen. Let the church say amen. Glory be to God. Let the church say, let it be so. Let the church say, so be it. God has the final word. God is my conqueror. Yes, he is. He conquers everything that I have to come against. What about you? Yes, when the devil comes your way, tell the devil that he's a liar and that God is true. tell the devil that you now serve the amen. The amen of glory. The amen of hallelujah. The amen of thanksgiving. The amen of praise. Jesus is the amen who is the faithful and true witness. That's the reason why we're here today, because he's the amen. You walk up and down the streets, you don't know what can happen to you, but because you prayed in the name of Jesus, amen. Yeah, he said, so it will be. He blessed your going out and your coming in. You prayed and you said, amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To a God who is awesome. Amen. To our God. You ought to praise him. You just ought to break out in a praise. You ought to praise. You ought to say thank you. You ought to do something. You ought to say amen. Amen. The doors of the church are open. Is there somebody who will receive Christ as the amen of your life? Some of you know about God, but you don't know God. If you only know about God and you don't know God, then something is not right there. You've got to get to know him in order for him to be what he needs to be in your life. Religion won't do it. Jesus has to be your amen. To the glory of God the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's my amen forever and ever. He is the amen. Hallelujah. Is there one to say yes to the Lord? Let God be what he wants to be. And if God be what he wants to be, you can't help but give him glory, honor, and praise. Is there one who will come forward and say, yeah, I want to try Jesus. I'm tired of fumbling. I'm tired of confusion. I'm tired of just doing this or doing. I want some stability to my life. I want some founding in my life. I want God to do something in my life, but I want to get to know him. Oh, Paul said that I might know him. Is there anybody here? I'm not talking, oh, he's my Savior, but, oh, he's my Lord, but. I'm talking about he's my Savior, he's my Lord, he's my all, and he's my all. He's my amen. My amen. When you pray over your food, in Jesus' name, amen. Is there one? Is there one? God bless you, Sydney. God bless you, Sydney. Let him be your amen. Is there another? Is there another that would come and say, I want him to be my amen? I'm going to go through some trials and tribulations, but he's still my amen. Still my amen. Is there one? Say yes. If the Lord is leading you here, you ought to come. Hallelujah. We're about to close these doors. If God is saying something to you, then let him bring you down this aisle like he did Sydney. Amen. God bless you. If you get tired, you may sit down. Amen. But he's the amen. And I'm so glad he's the amen.